Hey there, everyone. Hi, this is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom, the radio show that brings you information on the Akashic Records, how it affects your life, messages from the Akasha, and you can call in your questions to the Akasha. But tonight, we are kind of diverting from the official or technical idea of Akashic Records. And we have with us a very special guest. She's been on our show before, and we found very interesting things out when she was here. And we really encourage you to call in and ask her questions about 2012, because that is the subject for tonight. 2012 and you. How can you prepare for 2012? And what's the truth about 2012? What's the real deal about this? You know, we hear so much information about 2012, and should we be afraid? And is the world going to come to an end? And yada yada yada. That's the way I can say it. And so I am really willing and interested in learning the true information from our guest's point of view, and I know you are too. Just for your own information, if you're more curious about the Akashic Records, we're going to probably be talking a little bit less about the Akasha today. So if you're interested, you can go up on my website, which is akashicwisdom.com, or you can go up to www.arc-akashicrecords.org. That's Akashic Record Consultants International. It gives you lots of information about the Akashic Records. And I'm going to be talking a little bit more about my workshops and stuff a little bit later on. But without further ado, I would love to welcome Jalayla Starr. Hello, Jalayla.
Hey, Donna.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. Now, you are now in Kansas City.
Yes.
And you have a very special relationship with some very special folks called, and I want to say this right, but I may not, it's Nibiruans. No. I always say it wrong.
Nibiruans.
Okay, it's Nibiruans. Okay. Nibiruans. Okay. And the Nibiruan Council. And you have come to this in a very special way. Can you share with us a little bit about who these wonderful beings are and how you got involved? And then we'll move into the 2012 information.
Oh, sure. Well, the Nibiruans, as they explained to me, they are time travelers and time healers. But they are time travelers and time healers because they are supposedly the original ancestors. I mean, going all the way back to the origins of the human species in the Lyra constellation. We didn't first evolve here on Earth. Earth is like the third Earth that we've been on. And as I understand it, the human species evolved in the Lyra system, and these people are part of the original human species. So they've been in this game a long time. And they are actually Lyrans, not Nibiruans, but they call themselves Nibiruans because they are also the ancient ancestors of the Nibiruans, many of whom are humans, of a human species, though Nibiru is like a melting pot of species. They definitely have a large human contingent. So they represent themselves as Nibiruans as a way to give credence to the Nibiruans' position here and their connection to the humans of Earth, which, as I understand, the Nibiruans on Nibiru are the direct parent race of Earthlings. They were the ones who created humanity.
And so the question I have here is, but aren't there a lot of Lyrans on the planet now?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought.
I really believe I'm one
of them. That's the reason I'm asking that.
Not as many as there are Sirians or Pleiadians or people from Orion, but yeah, you do have a Lyran contingent, and they're usually very, very old souls, as we say, they're old farts. They've been around a long time.
Well, I got a long time ago that my spiritual name was Lyra, and I at that time didn't even know what Lyra was. And I think I mentioned that to you before. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I would love to explore that a little bit more. I plan to do that in the records. although I haven't really had, I'm so focused on this lifetime that, going to past lifetimes, although it's, I'm curious about it, is not, has not been on my things to do list, if you know what I mean, because I've been busy with other things. But so talk to us about how you got involved with the Nibiruans and how this all came about.
Well, the way I got involved with them is back in 1993, they contacted me in a dream. And it was a very profound dream. And in it, I saw my soul disconnecting from my body. And it was standing in front of me, and the next thing you know, it was walking in front of me with these two ladies who could walk across the ground without their feet touching, which I thought was so cool.
Yeah.
And but in the dream, and then there was a man standing there, and he says, you know, I turn around as I'm, after I get done watching her, and I turn around, and he's right there in front of me, and he says, we have work to do together. And that so freaked me out, I thought I was possessed. But because, see, I was a businesswoman, and a single mom, and an entrepreneur, and I was not interested in any of this stuff. I wasn't one of those people who, you know, as a kid, wanted to have a spaceship come and get me. I never was interested in anything like that. I was just a regular kid, you know, just trying to make it, you know, trying to survive in a crazy family.
Okay.
And so I had no interest in anything off-world at all. I was a very grounded, down-to-earth human. So when they contacted me, they happened to do it at a very good time because I probably would have blown them off otherwise. But I had just gone through 6 months of my life, just everything in my life just coming crashing down around me. The only thing I had at that point was I made good money. In my personal life, everything just went to hell in a handbasket. So it was at that point where I was knocked to my knees emotionally that they showed up, and I was willing to listen.
Okay.
So that's how I got started.
And now, do you have any kind of walk-in situations happening within you?
Well, it was during that 6 months I talked about that a walk-in did occur, which was part of the reason that my life was falling apart. I mean, here I ran breakfast clubs for a living, and I taught people how to network, and all of a sudden I could barely walk or talk. It was like I was having to learn how to walk and talk, and things were coming out of my mouth that didn't make any sense. They were not the normal way I would have thought. It was quite confusing.
Interesting. And you have a book on this, too, don't you?
Yeah, I've got a couple of books on this. Three, actually.
And so if people want to learn more about the books that you have, they can go to your website, right?
Yeah.
What's that website?
www.nibiruancouncil.com. And that's NIBIRUAN and the word council, CONCIL, altogether.com.
Great. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen who are listening, that information is also on my website there at bbsradio.com. If you go into the information on the show, it'll show who my guest is, and I'll give you all the information about Jalayla. So all of a sudden, now let's just fast forward here. We've got this workshop. Why 2012? Why were you inspired to do this work on 2012?
Well, it's interesting. I completed my mission with the Nibiruans back in 1994, and I'd been at it then for, you know, like 10 years, almost 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And you can see a lot of things in hindsight that you couldn't see in the middle of the mission. And they kept telling me that I was there to prepare for this wave that was coming. And they'd say, okay, we have 3 years to get this done. Then we said, we have 2 years to get this done, you know. And then I realized that everything we did, every assignment during the whole entire mission, was about preparing for 2012. Because in 2012, something that is going to happen, we're going to be ending cycles within cycles. So, you know, it's not just going to be the, you know, the procession of the equinoxes. It's going to be the end of a grand galactic cycle. And at that point, Earth will, what it does every 13,000 years, it crosses the galactic equator, and when it does, our planet conjuncts our sun, and which conjuncts the galactic core. And we all move across, and at that time, we'll move through this energy that is, they call it the galactic superwave, because it's very high pro-evolutionary energy that is emitted out of the galactic core, and it spreads along the equator. And so as we move across the equator, we move through this field of energy. And at that point, whatever levels of consciousness are on this planet will manifest into their own separate worlds. They will just, it's like, you notice how everything is speeding up.
Yeah.
You know, you think, oh, I want a red sweater, and like 2 days later you find it.
Right.
It used to take you weeks or months, and finally you just forget you ever wanted that red sweater.
Sure.
Now it's happening like in days. Well, imagine if your thoughts are manifesting in days, imagine it manifesting in seconds.
Hmm.
Now imagine everybody on the planet, their thoughts manifesting in seconds.
And what about the folks who don't know this is all happening?
Still going to happen. But the thing is that there's all these prophecies, and they tend to conflict if you don't see the bigger picture.
Okay.
And I was fortunate to have been trained by the Nibiruans, which they are time travelers. And so they're always talking about projecting out along the timelines. We see this, we see that. And I began to understand that they can see down the timelines, and they were trying to explain to me, you know, what was going to happen, and how, and when you understand what's going to happen, you see there's this big picture, and all these prophecies make sense when they're seen in the light of a bigger picture, because it's not just one version of reality that will be happening at that time. There'll be more than one version of reality, as we're beginning to see versions of reality begin to separate and become more manifest on the planet. It's like not everybody's 3D anymore.
Right.
You got 4D people. You got 5D people.
Right.
And you've got even higher level people. And they're kind of existing in their own little worlds. Well, imagine all those little worlds all of a sudden manifesting into full-blown realities in which it's like they're on their own planet.
Huh. And they're having their own experience.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, people say, where happened to the Mayans? Well, I think they went through an ascension, and so they're on their own version of Earth now.
Right.
But we can't see them. They could probably see us. I mean, how many people have Mayan guides? I mean, I wish I had a dime for everyone.
Sure, right.
But the thing is, see, you can see below you, you just can't see above you.
Isn't that interesting?
So it could be, you know, they're on their own version of Earth, and they can see us because they're at a higher level than we, but we can't see them.
Very interesting. I just want to just take a moment here to encourage the audience. If you have questions about 2012 that you would like answered, please give us a call. We would love to talk to you. 877-876-5227 if you're in the U.S. If you're in Canada or U.S., the number is 888-815-9756. Or if you're out of the country and you want to call us direct, you can call, Kendra code is 01, and it's 530-876-3222. Or if our line is busy, because we only have one call in line, that's our one of our handicaps here, but it's also a blessing, when you can email the question immediately and I'll get it, and you can email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. That's akashicwisdom. And that, I have my computer on, I'm in front of it, and you can email me any of your questions for Jalayla. Okay, so we got this thing going with all these different dimensions, or these different levels of consciousness coming up for 2012. So, how do we prepare for this?
Got to dump your baggage.
Yeah. That's So why is it important to dump your baggage?
Because whatever you're
carrying... And that's an emotional baggage, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever you're carrying on the inside is going to manifest almost instantly on the outside, because, you know, the cool thing about movies like The Secret and stuff is they're finally getting into the mass consciousness, the idea that you create your own reality.
Uh-huh.
And you create it out of whatever you've got inside of you. And you're creating your reality, at, whether you consciously know it or not, out of everything in your emotional field. So even though, you know, you can smile and put on a happy face when you're angry, you're still going to keep attracting angry people, because those angry emotions are still being emitted into the field through the neural net in your heart. Which they've now proven as a neural net that interfaces with the grid or reality or the field or, you know, whatever you want to call it, the mirror of life.
And, you know, what I have encountered, too, is there's some folks that are angry and don't even know they're angry.
Oh, yeah. We're so trained in this society not to express our anger that we've developed some amazing stuffing mechanisms.
Well, why don't you name a few?
How, you know, someone will upset you and you'll think to yourself immediately, oh, I'm not, oh, it's just not worth it. Don't rock the boat.
Right.
Don't make a big deal. And you rationalize things away, even though it's obviously, you know, a violation of your personal boundaries.
And then that the fact that you didn't speak your truth is an energy drain on your being, right?
Yeah, because when you stuff anger requires a lot of energy.
Uh-huh.
Especially to keep it down.
Right.
A lot to keep it down. You're constantly having to suppress that. That requires a lot. Anger is the biggest consumer of life force. And so when, you know, there's a lot of people who, like, I met this lady not long ago. And she goes, well, I'm a good person. Why do these bad things happen to me? You know, someone's suing her for $400,000.
Wow.
And it's her niece. She
wow.
goes, why am I, you know, why, what's wrong? I mean, I'm a good person. But she's carrying so much unresolved anger and feelings of, you know, grief she's never dealt with, of which anger is part of the grieving process. She just stuffs it all down and doesn't think about it. She's like Scarlett O'Hara. I'll just think about that tomorrow when I can stand it, you know. And she wonders why she ends up in car accidents and all kinds of things, and it keeps attracting all these angry people. Because I said, it's not about what you're expressing. The fact is that if you've got it in there, it's going to be expressing itself right into the field every day, 24 hours a day.
Sure, because it's all vibrational, right?
It's all electromagnetic
and
vibrational. And so it doesn't matter whether it comes out of your mouth or not. If it's in your field, it's attracting it like a magnet.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was talking to some folks that were having some parenting challenges. And when we got down to it, one of the issues was that there have been times and when the child was just recently was just born that they actually felt constricted and was angry about being held back because of a freedom point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other issues. I was talking to a couple of different people who had kind of like similar issues. And then now, fast forward to the time that this kid's now, you know, 11 or 12, and they're bad-mouthing the mom.
Uh-huh.
Well, the idea here is that here's this mom carrying this anger about having this baby. Even though she wants to love this child, she's still carrying anger about that baby, and then she's wondering why the behavior is off.
Right.
You see?
Because you know what? The inner children don't lie.
Right.
So your inner child and my inner child, they can't lie to each other. They don't lie to each other. No, you know, we can cover up stuff between ourselves as adults, but
right.
Our inner children, see, they tell the truth because they're like little two-year-olds. It just comes right out of their mouth.
And that's exactly what came forward is the fact that she was actually parenting her child from her inner child, not from her adult.
Yeah, and her child, her biological flesh and blood child, is just a external version of her inner child.
Right.
Because that's the relationship she has with her inner child.
Yeah. It was very interesting, and so, you know, I think that the getting rid of this baggage, and you know, there's so many folks that say, there was like they put themselves in a position where they say yes when they really really want to say no, and they don't, they're afraid to hurt other people's feelings. It's like they're walking around worrying about other people's feelings and shoving their own down.
Mm-hmm.
So in your workshops, how does that go? I mean, there was like, in preparation for 2012, what can a person expect when they come to a workshop with you?
Well, are you talking about 2012 or an emotional clearing?
I don't know.
Well, okay.
I don't know. I really want to hear about them all.
Okay, 2012 is a workshop where I basically take people through what's going to happen between now and 2012 and what's going to happen in 2012.
Okay.
And to do that, you've got to understand the past. So the first day is all about galactic history, because what happened in the past on a galactic level is what is going to be playing out in the next 4 years. And then the other thing I do is explain the ascension staircase and how the grids have been built to where you can stair step out, and then and each grid is its own infrastructure for a new reality. So each one has characteristics, and each one is more integrated in its beliefs and characteristics than the one before. And so by explaining the different characteristics at the different levels, a person can see where they are in the ascension process, which is one of the biggest questions I get asked. You know, where am I in the ascension? Well, now you'll be able to tell. And
why would that be important to know?
Huh?
Why would that be important to know?
Well, because if you have no, there's no handbook left to us on how to go through an ascension.
There's no what?
No handbook.
Oh, handbook. Uh-huh.
No one left us a handbook and says, this is how you do it.
Okay.
And if you're in a process, you need to be able to chart your progress.
Okay. Measurement.
So that you can
okay.
get to your goal.
Yeah.
But you got to figure out what your goal is. So, and you got to figure out how to chart the progress. So Countdown to 2012 is all about giving you what the goal is, helping you understand how you progress to that goal, and then helping you figure out where you are. And people walk away feeling so much better, because now at least they know what they have to work on and what they've already managed to clear.
From an emotional baggage point of view.
From an emotional baggage point of view, from the position of changing their beliefs and their consciousness.
Okay.
Yes, so they walk away going, okay, here's where I am, and here's where I want to go, and here's where my challenges are. I can now see that I'm not walking blind anymore, hoping to hell that I get where I need to be at 2012. So without anybody to know whether I'm actually going there, you know, going to reach that goal. Now they know that they know what they need to do to reach the goal, and what is stopping them.
And so, in your workshop, it sounds like what you help people get at is core beliefs.
Right. So 2012 is about helping them understand the goal and how to get there.
Okay.
And then the emotional clearing workshop, which is obviously the next step, is where I actually take them through learning how to use the higher dimensional tools that were given by the Nibiruans to do the emotional clearing, but not just do emotional clearing. I mean, there's lots of ways to do emotional clearing, but at a level which activates the thymus, because when you activate the thymus, it produces this really unique frequency called compassion, and that is now known by quantum medicine as the frequency that changes DNA from carbon to crystalline. And the Nibiruans, see, they scattered our DNA in 3400 BC, and they had a reason for doing it. But they encrypted it when they did, so that no other off-world group could mess with us until we had reached spiritual maturity. And at that time, they would give us the key to decrypt the DNA and recompile the 12 strands. And that is the 9-step process that they gave me, called the key of compassion. Because the formula of compassion, when you do the formula and you do it correctly, it activates the thymus, and the thymus actually spasms in an orgasmic manner.
Say that again?
It expands and contracts in an orgasmic manner. and it floods the body with the energy of compassion, because that's the gland that actually is able, at its higher level, its multidimensional level, it produces a frequency of compassion. And compassion is a frequency that does change DNA. It's the only frequency that changes DNA.
So how much of this work that you're doing is from a psychological point of view?
Oh, I'd say quite a bit of it.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like huge emotional release.
Yeah,
psychological work, yeah.
Yeah, and you have to understand, I mean, and the Nibiruans give, you know, they're the old guys. They've been around. They figured out, you know, the game.
Uh-huh.
And these are the higher beliefs that will enable you to clear any issue, because to clear some of these issues, you have to use a set of beliefs that are more integrated than the 3D, because the 3D are based on good and evil, victims and perpetrators.
Right.
You have to have a higher level, which they call God consciousness. This is the way God thinks, you know.
Sure.
And when you work at it from that level, it's like, you can release anything. And when you clear it, you'll know you cleared it because you activate the thymus. See, if you can't activate the thymus, you haven't really cleared it. So there's a secret to clearing to activate the thymus.
And that's what they learn in the emotional clearing workshop.
Yeah, and I actually take them through it on their own issues.
And so how many folks are typically in these workshops?
I will take up to 15.
Okay. So it's really kind of a more personalized, hands-on thing.
Yes. Yes.
You know, this is not where you go to a workshop where there's 400 people.
Oh, no. We could not do it that way.
Okay.
Because then they need to have a personal experience of using it, because you can't activate the thymus intellectually. You have to do it emotionally, experientially. So taking somebody through one of their own issues to activate and cause the thymus to spasm, or orgasm, as we call it.
Uh-huh.
Because it's just like an orgasm, except it's happening in your thymus. It's the wildest feeling. You think, people think, oh, my God, I'm having a heart attack. But it feels so good.
Well,
but anyway.
Yeah. Now, do you do this on a personal level, like when you do your consultations, or what? How does that work?
Yeah, it happens sometimes in the consultations. Like a woman, this is my favorite. They call me up. And, you know, is this my life partner, or should I leave him? Can I leave him?
Yeah.
And usually no.
Yeah.
No. So I take them through whatever issue. I always ask them, okay, what's the one thing you find most offensive about your partner?
Mm-hmm.
So I take them through the formula on that issue, and within the hour, they totally shifted.
And they're in love again?
Well, let's just say there's no judgment.
Oh, okay.
They've released the judgment. They have a lot more acceptance, because they can finally see it from the other side.
But that doesn't mean that the acceptance doesn't mean that they have to stay with that person. They probably get the realization of whether they want to stay or go, correct?
Well, if they work through the issues, a lot of times, you know, it's about them staying until they work through the lessons. If they leave, it's just running. So
that's not always the case,
but
sometimes they're complete, right?
Huh?
Sometimes they're complete.
Rare.
No, what I'm saying is if they're still having an issue with somebody, is it your experience that they always stay until they complete what their lessons are?
It depends. A lot of times, yes, because it's usually a lesson that they're going to end up creating over and over again until they
can get it. Yeah, got
what's
that part.
What's in it for them?
Right.
And I said, you know, here's the deal. He's your lesson mate. At least you know him. If you're gonna carry this with you, you're gonna create it someplace else, and then you've got an unknown individual to deal with. At least
right.
you know
and,
this guy.
And then sometimes the lesson has to do with speaking their truth.
Yeah, and it's not about running away from it.
Yeah.
It's about learning to, you know, tell the truth and take what you get.
Got it. And then decide whether or not you want to stay or go once you really get actualized.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you work with people. One of the things with women in particular is we don't know how to negotiate. We don't know how to negotiate for what we want, because we've always been taught that that would be selfish. You know, you can do it in business, and that's fine, but you can't bring it home.
Yeah.
And yet, so when women start to work on standing up for themselves, they start with ultimatums. to go from nothing to ultimatums. If you don't put the toilet seat down, I'm leaving you. Instead of, honey, I know you have the issue about the toilet seat up. I have it for down. So why don't we do this? You keep it down at night, and you can have it up during the day. How's that? And I won't say a word, but if I go in there and my fanny hits the water, it will have to stay down for 2 weeks, and I never want to hear a word about it. And then, of course, if I break the agreement and I gripe at you for keeping it up during the day, then you get to keep it up for 2 weeks, and I can't say anything. See, now that's negotiation.
Sure.
That's a win-win. It isn't about, honey, if you don't put the toilet seat down, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
You see, it's just learning how to negotiate.
Yeah, and not to mention the fact that they're not going to leave over the toilet seat anyway.
Right. So yeah. I feel sorry for the men.
Yeah.
Here, you know what? They're taught to try to read our minds. Because we're taught that we can't ask for what we want. Because if we did, we'd be selfish.
Yeah.
So this thing is, we're supposed to give and give and give. And if we give well enough, then they will somehow be so grateful, they'll read our minds and give us exactly what we want.
Do you think that's shifting, though? I think I see some younger women now that are kind of getting out of that.
Well, I think it is starting to shift. I think 2 generations from now, it's really going to be pretty much a thing of our generation.
Right, right.
We're like the last holdout, you know. We're getting it, and we're starting to teach our kids a new way.
Right, exactly.
But then it's their kids.
Yeah.
That are really going to, you know, be much more empowered to get what they want. Without having to wait for someone to read their mind and give it to them.
Yeah. I think that comes because our children are becoming more aware. I mean, I know my grandkids and my kids, they're pretty aware folk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're teaching our kids to ask for what they want.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially our daughters.
Yes.
You know, I said, don't expect the man to give it to you. Ask for what you want. Negotiate.
Exactly. That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
Don't expect them to read your mind. It's not fair.
Well, that's true. So typically let's go over your schedule for a minute. You have the 2012 workshop coming up in Kansas City, right?
Yeah, well, I've got the New Living Expo first.
Okay.
And
the New Living Expo
there.
Is when?
Huh?
That's the end of this month, right?
Yeah, April 25th, 26th, 27th. I'll be out in San Francisco for that one.
And you're going to be doing a 3-hour workshop there.
I'm going to be doing the Countdown to 2012 intro. And then I'll be doing a little 1-hour workshop on DNA recoding.
Both of those at there?
Huh?
Both of those there?
Yeah, and then I'll be on the UFO panel with David Wilcox.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
So that'll be at the end of the month. And the following weekend, I have a 2-day emotional clearing workshop in Bloomington, Illinois.
Okay.
And then the 17th, I think it's the 15th, 16th, 17th, I have a Countdown to 2012 workshop here in Kansas City.
Is that May? Is it May you're talking about?
Yeah, in May.
Okay.
And then at the end of May, May 31st, June 1st, I have a Countdown to 2012 back out in San Francisco, the full workshop.
Okay.
And then June 5th through 8th, I have a full 4-day emotional clearing workshop back here at Kansas City. The ones in Kansas City are always at my house.
Okay.
And then I think I have an emotional clearing workshop set up for September in San Francisco, the 12th through the 14th.
And you're available if somebody wants to sponsor you to come into any area, right?
Yeah. They just get 10 people, 10 to 12, depending on the workshop, 10 to 15 people, and I'll be there.
That's right. And that's the same way I do with Akashic Records. You know, 10 to 15 folks, and we go out there, and we don't necessarily do this together, but our criteria is the same. How about that?
Yeah.
So, absolutely. And they can. Is there a phone number you would like them to contact with you, or you want them
yeah,
to contact you with email, or how?
Well, they can contact me at 913 513-599-6222.
Say that one again.
913-599-6222.
Okay.
And the email address is Jalaila, J-E-L-A-I-L-A, at NibiruinCouncil.com.
And that the NibiruinCouncil.com is also on the information for the Akashic Wisdom Show. So if you're wanting to know how to spell it, it's there with the information for the show for today. And you can just go up and get that if you're listening. And we would love, again, we'd like to throw that out there for those folks who are listening in and are curious. We really would love to have you give us a call. And the first telephone number is 877-876-5227 in the U.S. And the U.S. and Canada is 888-815-9756. Or you can call direct at 530-876-3222. So let's talk for a minute. And there was when you're talking about the 2012,
mm-hmm.
Can you give folks a bit of a sample? I mean, I don't want you to give the workshop away, but I'm trying to, like, if they were to come to the introductory workshop
mm-hmm.
in San Francisco, the 3-hour one, what
mm-hmm.
kinds of things would they learn?
Well, I would do just a brief sketch of the history so they have an understanding of what the prophecies are tied to.
Okay.
And then a little bit about the Ascension Staircase, and then a little bit about what actually happens in 2012. So it's a very condensed version.
Uh-huh.
And, it gives them an idea. Obviously, there's a lot of information that's left out because we only have, 3 hours versus 2 full days.
Sure.
But that's what they can expect. What they'll walk away with is some kind of understanding that there is a bigger picture and that a reassurance that whatever they have learned on the internet or whatever, it will have a place, it will be validated, and it'll begin to make they'll have a better sense of what 2012 is about. They won't have all the details, but they'll definitely know the basics about what it's about.
So let's say some folks that don't live in San Francisco, they're not going to go there, and they can't get to any one of your workshops. Can you give them something just that they can do at home right now to start to do a little bit of preparation until they can have a consultation with you or until they, because there's a lot of fear out there about 2012, and it seems to me that the fear is not helping anybody.
Yeah, well, the thing is, what the Nibiruins always said to me, there's no safe place, only safe DNA. Because
there's no safe place, just safe DNA.
Right, because your DNA is basically the physical imprint of your state of consciousness. So,
say that again.
Your DNA is a physical imprint of your state of consciousness.
Okay.
And your state of consciousness is the sum total of all your beliefs. So if your beliefs are still very polarized, meaning very, very 3D, your DNA is going to be very carbon.
Okay.
Very carbon-based DNA.
Uh-huh.
Very dense DNA. As you change your beliefs to where they become more integrated, which means there's less of the judgment, good and evil, the polar opposites, your DNA becomes more crystalline, and therefore it appears in blood work to it'll say, noted absence or low levels of carbon, because a lot of your DNA changes to crystalline DNA, which means it holds light, so it'll appear as less dense than other people's.
Okay. Well, that's very interesting. And so, what about not to change the subject, but I'm curious about what your take is about the scientists have discovered new strands of DNA.
Okay.
What's your information on that?
That would make sense.
Yeah, and there was, like, I think they were talking about that there was originally 12, and then there was 18, and now there's more. I don't quote me. I heard that in passing.
Well, you know, each of our 12 strands has multidimensional levels to it.
Okay.
And so, yeah, you could say that, you know, we're beginning to see things we didn't see because our consciousness is rising. It's like, you know, as Wayne Dyer says, you'll see it when you believe it.
Uh-huh.
And, but the Nibiru ones always like to keep things simple.
Okay.
Because they say it's just like us humans to complicate things. Talking about themselves, too.
Uh-huh.
And they said, so let's just keep it simple. Let's just say you got 12, okay?
Okay.
12 T1 lines.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, and so what about, here's the question I have for you. So, in your opinion, this is what you're talking about is going to happen to everyone. It doesn't have anything to do with different physical makeup from let's say, like people, beings from Orion or Sirius or whatever, or the different other planetary forms that are here. What you're talking about is happening across the board. And it doesn't really have anything to do with people's belief systems about their cultural belief systems. It's really more about their emotional belief systems. And then,
well,
it's going to happen to everybody.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's beliefs are, each belief it vibrates at its own frequency.
Okay.
And the more polarized the belief, the lower the frequency. So if most of your beliefs are very polarized, you're going to have very low vibrating energy.
Right.
Okay, so your overall state of consciousness is going to be a lot lower.
Sure.
The more integrated they are, the higher vibrating you are. So
yeah,
it doesn't really matter where you're from. It matters what your beliefs are. And it's the belief, you know, and everybody has a chance right this moment to begin to change their beliefs so that they can end up crossing that galactic equator and ending up on a version of in a reality that is more harmonious, and, you know, basically is what they want to create for their lives.
Yeah,
that's
but,
why they said, you know, we're creating our own reality right now.
Right.
See, your safety is in your own hands. You can make yourself safe and avoid the catastrophes that some people will experience, because that's going to be a version of reality, by simply doing your emotional clearing and changing your beliefs to those that are more integrated. So it's like you have the power to create the outcome you want for yourself.
Okay.
No one can do it for you.
So,
no one can make you safe. Only you can make you safe.
Right.
So that's the cool thing.
Yeah.
It's all in your hands.
Sure. But I guess where I'm coming from is there's only one of you, and
yeah,
there's a whole world out there. So,
yeah, but I got a whole library of this information that they had me put down for this
great
very reason.
Okay, so people can read it even and get it even if they can't
right.
Make it to one of your workshops. Is that right?
Right. I mean, yeah, the Countdown of 2012 information is in the Mission Remembered package.
Okay.
Which I put together at the end of the mission.
Okay.
I mean, the Nibiruans from the very beginning, as soon as we got going into what they call pre-launch for the mission, which was back in late 1996, they said, we want you to start a library, because the day is going to come when you won't be able to help everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to have everything in books, you know, on tape and, you know, whatever we had back then. And sure enough, I mean, just we started banging them out one after another.
Uh-huh.
Every time they give us something, we put it on tape and put it in the library.
Okay.
So now we've got this big library. That's why doing a conference, I always have to ask for extra tables. And then we put everything in packages by topic to make it easier for people, because it could be so overwhelming.
Sure.
Now we have a whole galactic library.
Okay.
That a person can go and get whatever they want from. And it's based on topic, and that they can just create their own, they can do their own education. DNA recoding is something you pretty much do on your own.
Uh-huh.
A lot of this is, you know, self-serve.
Okay, great. But what about the folks who've never heard of you? What are they? What are we going to do with them?
Well, they'll find me when their time is, when the time comes.
So do you teach anybody how to teach this stuff, or is it just you?
Well, I do. I can, you know, I'm getting ready to start a training program for what I call compassion coaches.
Okay.
People who can take someone through the, you know, emotional clearing, and which if you do emotion clearing at the level that activates the thymus, that's actually DNA recoding.
Okay.
Because it does, it recodes DNA. It turns on those 44 DNA codes that have been switched off.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I'm going to be starting that in probably June.
Okay.
I do it in a very simple way. You know, it's like if you want to learn how to teach this stuff, start coming to the emotion clearing workshops as a student, I mean, as a participant, and after a while, and then, you know, you can stay an extra day, and every evening we'll go over, okay, here's the things you have to learn to be a coach, and you do that enough times until one day you say, you know what, I'm ready to go try my own.
and then you just go ahead, would they get certified, or they get the blessings, or what?
That.
What?
I'm not even going to mess with that.
Okay, all right.
It just complicates things.
Okay.
So, if they're supposed to do this work, they're going to have the abilities. My job is just to, you know, get them going until I can push them out of the nest and they can fly.
That's very good. That's very good. And then they can use your materials, or you'll have a special package they can use, right?
Yeah.
Special arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, so they don't have to go invent any new materials.
That's right. It's just there for them.
That's right.
That's good, and they can just keep on getting their material from you, and it just that helps multiply your abilities and your talents because it gets to more people that way.
Exactly.
That's very good.
It's a win-win.
Say again.
It's a win-win.
It is a win-win. Well, that's a wonderful idea. Now, are you going to stay in San Francisco and do any kind of personal consultations, or are you going to head out as soon as the conference is done?
I'm going to head out because I'm going to have to be in Bloomington the next weekend.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So I'm going to come back and spend a few days at home and getting ready to go on the next trip.
So talk to me about what happens with a telephone. I'm going to make the assumption that if you do most of your work on the telephone. Telephone consultation, what happens with that?
Well, it depends on what kind of session they get. Most of the time it's a general counseling, which is the one I usually start people with. And I have them organize their questions into five categories, you know, spiritual, personal, business, health, and finance.
Uh-huh.
And I have them go over their questions with me, and then we make five simple agreements around the session and what can be expected and, you know, what my guarantee is and all that kind of stuff.
What does that mean, five agreements?
Well, the neighbor said you always got to do everything by agreement. In other words, I put the, like one of the agreements is that they agree to be open to what is said with the understanding that they don't have to accept it as truth.
Okay.
Another one is that they agree to speak up if something needs to be clarified.
Okay.
Things that most people don't even think that they should be even discussing, but they need to because that's where counselors run into problems is that they don't get this stuff up front.
Right.
And it just helps to, you know, make the other person feel more comfortable that, okay, you know what, they're saying speak up.
Sure.
A lot of people won't even, you know, they'll think, oh, maybe I shouldn't, you know.
Right. Well, that's one of the things I tell my people is if it doesn't feel like truth, you got to tell me.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I put it right out there in front, and they agree to do it.
Yeah.
And then once we make the agreements, then I call in their guides, not mine. Mine don't know anything about them.
Right.
You know? I call in their guides, and then we have, it's like a meeting. It's like going to a meeting, and you're going to go in there prepared with your list of questions so that when you walk away, you have a bigger picture and a greater understanding of what's going on with you now, where you need to go next, and how to get there.
That's very good.
That's what a general counseling is.
And then what's next? You said that's the way you start people out.
Yeah, and then, you know, a lot of people will want to do a guide communication workshop because they want to learn to work with their guides.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the way that everyone's taught me, it's so simple. You know, once again, we humans tend to complicate things. And it's a three-hour workshop that we do 1 hour at a time. And at the end of the 3 hours, they're communicating. And so I do that one. A lot of people do that one next. And then the other one is a DNA recoding coaching session where it would either help them work the DNA chart, because we have a DNA chart that the Neighborhoods gave us, which has 96 DNA strand and endocrine gland connections. There's 12 glands, 12 strands and 7 endocrine glands in the whole DNA recoding process. And each one of those connections, like the hypothalamus to the pineal, or to strand number one, which is courage, each one of those has a meaning. And when you work the entire chart to figure out where you are, where your DNA status is, every issue in your life shows up on that chart. You can't really lie.
Wow.
It's pretty amazing. So either they work the chart and they just want some help interpreting it, or they want some help learning to work the chart.
Who makes the chart for them?
I do.
Oh, I see.
No, they have to fill it out.
Okay.
But, everyone's
gave
me the chart.
It's based on questions, right?
Yeah, you know, they say, you know, what, you can either use a pendulum, or you can just use, you know, your psychic ability or kinesiology, or however you want to get the information.
Uh-huh.
And you say, like, to what percentage is my courage strand connected to my pineal? And you say 100 and start at the top. I always say start at the top and work your way down.
Sure.
100 and you either give yes or no, and you keep going until you get a percentage.
Interesting.
And see, there's three steps to DNA recoding. There's realigning the 12 strands, reconnecting them into the crown chakras. Crown chakra crystals, there's 12 of them up there. They're like 12 plug-ins, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then there's the activation, which means turning on the juice.
Interesting.
And because your DNA is holographic, you can have little segments of DNA realigning and activating without the whole strand being up there. And this is done on the etheric level because your physical body cannot hold that kind of energy. And so it's all done etherically, which, you know, is the beginning of anything. But, boy, do you start to feel it physically.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you know, the next question that comes kind of out of the blue here, if you will, is how does what you do, how does that relate, or does it relate to a shaman's journey?
Well,
like for journeying for soul retrieval. Is it not at all connected? It's just a different.
Well, you know, as I understand it, shaman's journey for soul retrieval to reconnect parts of you.
Right.
Okay. It's similar to that, except we go way beyond this earthly existence.
Okay.
Back into your galactic past, because a lot of our issues have their roots in our galactic past, not just in our lives here on Earth.
Okay.
So I go further back because I was taught how to do that.
Yeah.
So you could say I'm a galactic shaman.
Say again?
I'm a galactic shaman.
Ooh, cool. That's really cool.
Shamaness, huh. Or however you say it.
Yeah. Shamaness. That sounds good.
But, you know, the Nibiruans, the guides these days, they don't dwell on where you, how many lives you had or where you were.
Right.
They have stopped doing that. Their main focus, and they even had me put this on my website, their big thing now is what is blocking you today and what do we need to do to get you to your next step?
There you go.
Because they say with only 4 years left, where you're from is not as important anymore.
Well, that's true. That's been the song the Akashic Records have been singing for a while.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's not about past lives, it's not about future. It's here and now, and how to feel comfortable in your skin, and what do you need to release in order to feel that way.
Yeah.
So,
if someone asked me, how many lives have I had? I'm like, okay, refund time.
Yeah.
This is not for you, baby.
Yeah. Well,
you need to go to somebody else who deals with just that.
Yeah, in other words, like, in fact, my listeners, you know, typically know this one of the questions that I'm happy to deal with on a private basis is what's my purpose, but when we're doing call-ins, what's my purpose is like, you know,
yeah,
important to the other person, but just not important to anybody else who's listening. But, okay, so we have about a minute left, and I would just love to have you just recap, Jalila, what you would like the listeners to know about your work and that. So why don't you just kind of let everybody know what you want them to know?
First of all, there's a lot of hope for the future.
Okay.
It's not all doom and gloom. And when you understand the bigger picture, and then it'll make sense why there's so much reason to hope. There's so many reasons to hope. And what I'm here to do is give you that hope and give you tangible things you can do to manifest that hope so that we all end up with the reality that we want once we cross the galactic equator, because that's really what it's all about now, is getting across that galactic equator and then quickly manifesting the reality that we want.
Well, that's great. Well, we are really out of time. I want to thank all of you listeners for listening in. I want to thank Jalayla Starr for being our guest tonight. You can find her contact information on the BBS Radio website under my show, and you can find my contact information there, too. And if you'd like to give me a call another time, it's 216-691-1233. And or you can email at info@akashicwisdom.com. So I'm going to close the records for right now, and I want to say thanks to masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. And with that, we close the records for this Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show for April 13th, 2008, by saying amen, amen, amen. The records of the show are now closed, and I hope you guys have a wonderful week. And may you all truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And so you have a great time, and we love you all. And call Jalayla, you said it right on the whole program. It's Jalayla, there you go, or me. And you will have a great time understanding who you are. Okay, thank you. Good night, everybody. Thanks, Jalayla.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.